Bread, the Sandwich Podcast, episode number one. I'm Barry.
I'm Jeff.
And we like sandwiches. First episode, man.
That's crazy.
We should explain what we're doing.
Yes.
This podcast is all about sandwiches and the sandwich adjacent.
Sandwich adjacent is anything that you could possibly put between two pieces of bread.
Yeah, that's it. Very little else, just sandwiches. Anytime you tune in, chances are we're talking about sandwiches.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm Barry. I have over 40 years experience consuming sandwiches, so I think that makes me an expert. My childhood was spent in Jersey with Italian relatives, I have a healthy appreciation of an East Coast sandwich. My go-to is an Italian sub, like we just had, or a meatball hero, because that's what I grew up on. Jeff?
I have also over 40 years of experience eating sandwiches, many of which, when I was younger, made by my mother. Because, well, when you're young and you're poor, what are you going to do? You're not going to go out to eat. But I also have over 34 years of experience in the food and beverage industry. And while I have not worked in the kitchen all of those years, I did work in the kitchen. And I've had the really nice benefit of having worked with a lot of really good chefs that when they saw that I have a passion about food, let me in a little bit on some of the little tips and tricks that chefs use that they typically won't tell anybody but another chef. So
super cool.
It's helped me to kind of, because I do like to cook. I don't do it often because, you know, I work in the food and beverage industry. I don't want to cook when I get home. Usually it's like, I'm tired of food. But when you're ready to eat and you want to try something new, why not make something that, you haven't had before.
Yeah.
Try something a little different.
I always like trying something different. And I cook a lot, actually.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
because I'm not in food and beverage. I cook all the time. So I'm very interested in new and interesting ingredients and flavor profiles and all that. And so I cringe when my friends get basic-ass sandwiches.
Yeah.
It just makes me... It's like, you could be living better.
Yes.
And we both talk about this. So... Jeff and I come from the Geek Shock Podcast.
Yes.
It's geekshockpodcast.com, where we cover geek news and all things geek. We have over 730 episodes of this recording, and we've been doing it since 2008. That's 16 years of geekdom.
Now, absolutely.
As foodies, we often find ourselves steering the conversation toward food and drink, much to the annoyance of our co-hosts.
Oh, yes. They do not typically like it.
No. And Jeff
unless
and I,
they're hungry.
Jeff and I have been friends for over 20 years, and there's many things... Though you and I don't agree on.
No.
Don't know. But the one thing that gets us both animated and talking is food. And more often than not, sandwiches.
Yes.
So with that said, what you been eating?
Well, the most recent sandwich I had, besides the one that we just had before eat this fucking podcast. for those that are probably first joining us from not joining us from Geek Shock. Barry and I are a little loose with the language, so we'll try to keep it family friendly. But if we drop an F-bomb here and there,
yeah, deal with it.
Yeah,
I don't know what to tell you. Life sucks. Wear a hat.
So sandwich. So there's a place near my house called Lucino's, and they're mostly known for pizza.
Okay.
However, they are a Philadelphia style pizza shop.
Oh, we should mention Jeff and I both live in Las Vegas.
Yes.
We're going to talk about Vegas stuff a lot.
Vegas is a melting pot for a lot of different types of cuisines. People that start restaurants that are based on the cuisine that was served in their hometown. So this particular restaurant, Lucino's, Philadelphia-style restaurant, they have they have a whole bunch of cheesesteaks on their menu in addition to their pizza. However... one of the cold subs that I ate, which was fantastic, was called the Goodfella. This is hot capicola.
Ooh, gabagool.
Hot soppressata, spicy pepperoni, salami, provolone cheese. They say mixed greens, but I'm feeling like there was some arugula in there.
Ooh.
I love good lemony arugula.
They also call it rocket across the pond.
Yes.
Same thing.
Chopped spicy peppers and spicy garlic parmaioli. Now... there's a lot of spicy listed in there, but it was not a spicy sandwich.
How is it not a spicy sandwich? You got four different things with hot, spicy stuff.
It had a little bit of a kick to it, but not so much that it really overwhelmed your, you know, your sense of what is and isn't spicy on your palate.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like the perfect level of spice with these different spicy meats. And then it was finished off with a spicy garlic parm aioli. Now, a good aioli is
awesome. You have me at aioli.
But what they don't have listed on their website is that it does have oil and vinegar on it, too. So the combination of that with the aioli, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that they took the vinegar and the oil and they tossed the greens in there.
That's what you should do.
Before they put it on the sandwich. So it doesn't, like, for those that eat sandwiches, if you got oil and vinegar on your sandwich, there's a good chance if you put it on the bread itself, it's going to soak into the bread, which you do kind of want it to do a little bit.
But the problem is you get that soggy bread.
Yes. If you don't do it properly, it will soak into the bread. So that is a trick that one of my chefs that I have worked with in the past taught me, is like, if you toss the greens in, you know, it's almost like taking it, making a little,
like a little salad
and then putting it on top. So
no, I've heard that too. A lot of people say for a good Italian sandwich, mm-hmm. you chop up your lettuce,
yes,
and then you mix the oil and vinegar in there, maybe a little onion, a little thin sliced onion, and then put it on top, because that soggy bread is not what you want. Now
exactly.
You can combat against that by throwing a little bit of mayo on top as a barrier.
Yep, you can do that. I'm not a big fan of mayo on Italian subs.
So you can go with an aioli.
But yes, the garlic, that spicy
half
garlic,
mayo anyway.
Parm aioli,
yeah,
was perfect on that, although they just drizzled it on top, which worked really well. So that was a really good sandwich that I had recently.
Cool.
What about you?
Oh, dude, well, speaking of aioli, I used to live in Houston for a hot minute, and 10 years, and there was a place called Mendocino Farms. Now, Mendocino Farms, it was a California chain. They're all up and down California in the major cities. They're really, really good sandwiches. And they have this sandwich called the Peruvian steak, which I absolutely love. It's
okay.
a spicy Aji Amarillo marinated steak with Oaxacan cheese, herb aioli,
ooh.
Red onions, tomatoes, and shredded romaine. Like, say, shredded, again, yep. on a toasted potato roll.
Nice.
Now, the roll, it's not a huge roll, but it's that potato roll that's got that good consistency so that the aioli doesn't get all soaked
yes.
up and it doesn't get gross.
Potato rolls are great for sandwiches.
Yeah, and the steak is just spiced just enough.
Okay.
It's just a beautiful sandwich, man.
Oh, sounds God. Like it.
It's so good. And they always have it.
Hmm.
So I'm you know, they're not paying me to say this. I just love these on Mendocino Farms. So that's my
nobody's
sandwich.
Paying us anything right now, so. Not especially episode one.
I know, but you could, and we'll talk about that later if you want to support the show.
Absolutely.
All right, let's answer some questions from the internet. It's the first episode. How can we have questions? Well, I asked for some on my favorite subreddit, r/sandwiches. I love it. There's no subreddit drama on r/sandwiches. It's just people posting pictures of sandwiches. It crosses all cultural boundaries.
I call bullshit on that. There's always drama on Reddit, regardless of the category. But I'll probably would have hazard a guess that there was less drama on our subreddit sandwiches.
If there's drama, it's fun drama. It's no politics. It's just, hey, look at my sandwich. And if someone says, is this a sandwich? Some people will say, no, that is an abomination. And that's the only time you can get some drama, but it's fun drama.
Oh, come on. You don't get any. It's like, that's the kind of sandwich one of you libs would eat. I swear to God, that's got to be in there somewhere.
Maybe if it's got avocado and sprouts on it. So, rsteel1981 asks, hot versus cold sandwiches? Honestly,
depends on the sandwich.
Depends on the sandwich. Depends on my mood. In the winter, I like a nice hot sandwich. I like a good steak sandwich or a cheese steak. But, you know, just today, I just had an Italian sub for lunch, and it was a cold sandwich. And honestly, it all depends.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends, on the sandwich. Because I recently found out that I like a hot version of a sandwich I'd always had cold.
What's that?
The Capriati's Bobby.
Okay, I was just about to mention that. Go ahead.
So it had always been a cold sandwich because, you know, it's like one of the chefs that I talked to said, he's like, I'd been making that for years before I ever heard of Capriati's, you know, the day after Thanksgiving. He's like, what do you do with all that stuff? You throw it on some bread and you make a sandwich out of it.
For those who don't know, the Capriati's Bobby is one of the best sandwiches ever. It's turkey, stuffing, cranberry, and mayo. It's delicious.
Yeah, it's literally Thanksgiving on a roll, on a sandwich roll. So, yeah,
but only recently, and by recently I mean like last few years, yeah, did I ever discover that they also serve it hot.
Exactly. And the reason I discovered that recently was because they were pushing their new gravy, which was for a limited time, and they said, get the hot Bobby with some gravy. And I was like, wait a minute. All these years they've had this sandwich, they've never had gravy on it. Why didn't they have gravy on it?
Because it wasn't hot.
Yeah.
No one wants gravy on a cold sandwich.
Exactly.
I could see it with gravy, but I tried it once without the gravy. They didn't offer the gravy.
Yeah.
I was not enamored by this sandwich.
No?
I don't like hot things next to mayo.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean,
it hits different, man. It's,
yeah. Well, I mean, but most chicken sandwiches have mayo on them, even if they're hot, so.
Well, I like to make a remoulade when I make a chicken sandwich.
You know, okay.
Little mustard, little capers, make a little quick remoulade. It's easier than you think, kids. Just get a little bowl, put some shit in it, put it on the sandwich, you're good. Okay. LA Native 318 asks,
mm-hmm.
What's the perfect cheese for a grilled cheese?
Oh, God.
That's such a loaded question.
So, what I have learned is the answer is more than one cheese. Putting a single type of cheese may throw you back to your childhood, you know, give you those nostalgia feelings, you know, that comfort zone, if you will, with sandwiches. But what I found is that a good mix of cheeses is going to give you the best results. Here's an example. I used to work at a restaurant here in Vegas called Serendipity 3. It was a franchise based on a restaurant out of New York. If anybody has ever seen the movie Serendipity, that's the restaurant they're talking about in there where they serve the frozen hot chocolates. We had a fantastic grilled cheese there. Our grilled cheese was cheddar, American, Swiss cheese, and this is one that's going to throw a lot of people. Brie cheese.
Brie.
On grilled sourdough bread.
You'd think all those flavors would get mushed together.
Yes, and that's what you want. You want those flavors to blend together because they strike different areas of your palate. So when I say brie, a lot of people get turned off because they're used to that kind of bitter brie, the one with the rind. When you get a good high-grade brie cheese, it doesn't have the rind. In fact, most of the time it's been trimmed off before you ever get it. And it gives a really nice contrast to your smoother cheeses like your American and your cheddar. And then it blends together with that kind of sharpness that you get with Swiss cheese. So, yeah, that's my answer for it. I think you need to go with a couple of different types of cheeses.
One of the best grilled cheeses I had was at the Edison, which is this bar in LA. I'm a giant cocktail snob.
Yes.
It's like they got this 20s vibe.
Oh, you have no idea about his cocktail snobbery.
Yeah. But they have this tomato soup and grilled cheese entree, and it's Fontina,
mm-hmm.
Munster,
okay.
Gruyere, Alpine Swiss on a buttered sourdough. Now, you can add onion or tomato or bacon or whatever.
I feel like I've had a version of this somewhere before. It's really good. Yeah.
I feel like it's missing something.
Really?
I like roasted red peppers.
Okay.
In the grilled cheese.
That's not bad.
It's not spicy. It's just roasted red peppers with the skin peeled off, and they're just in there with it. I think it kicks it up a notch.
One of the ones that I was kind of thrown by but worked was, it was prosciutto. That thick-cut prosciutto in there instead of bacon. Because, like, bacon in a grilled cheese is a very common twist on the grilled cheese, but
prosciutto, like that
thick-cut prosciutto, yeah. And then it was grilled before put on the sandwich, so it had that consistency of the bacon, and oh, it was so good.
Oh, now you have me with the prosciutto. Ooh, yep. That sounds good.
Yeah, it was very tasty.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm stupid. It wasn't prosciutto. It was pancetta.
Oh!
Nice thick-cut pancetta. Oh, so good. So good.
Thick-cut pancetta is great, and I use a lot of pancetta in Italian recipes where it calls for, like, ham or, mm-hmm. or like bacon. It's basically yep. Italian bacon.
It is exactly Italian bacon. So good.
You ever had, speaking of bacon, just sorry, quick thing. Do you ever have the bacon in like England or Scotland or whatever, and it's like a back, it's like rashers?
I've had it at a I have had it at a Irish pub. So yes, I've had Irish style back bacon.
Super good. But no, pancetta.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Toneman238 asks, in a sandwich that has cheese, is it better to have the cheese on the bottom of all the other ingredients or on the top, or does it matter?
I'm gonna go with doesn't matter, because when you're biting into a sandwich, the first thing that's going to, you know, just from physical location, that's going to hit your tongue is the bread. So you're not going to get the flavor until you chew it anyway. So I don't think, to me, it does not. Now, I know there are some sandwich snobs that will say, oh, you have to put it on one layer or another. And I get it from a, you know, from a pure visual aesthetic. Some people like their food to look fantastic. In fact, one chef that I worked with over the years said presentation is 9/10 of the meal. So mm-hmm. you could have an amazing looking dish, maybe not the best flavors, but your impression is going to be, ooh, this looks good. It must taste good. You could also have something that looks like hot garbage, but might have a really fantastic mix of flavors. Because it doesn't look as appealing, you might not, you know, not be interested in eating it.
That is absolutely true. I mean, think of the most basic-ass sandwich, the McDonald's cheeseburger.
Yes.
Right? Looks like garbage.
Yeah.
Peel that thing apart, garbage.
Yeah.
But we all know what it tastes like.
Yeah.
We've all had it as a kid, and it still tastes the same.
Yep.
You can picture it in your mind as a better-looking sandwich than it actually is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No. Presentation matters. Looks matter. Sorry.
And some sandwiches, they put the cheese on both the top and the bottom.
Yeah, that happens.
So there's my opinion, and, you know, take it for what you will. I don't think it matters.
I agree.
To be honest.
Doesn't matter. Done. That's the rule from now on.
Oh, you know what's funny? We're going back to grilled cheese. One of the best grilled cheese I ever had, besides the one that I already talked about, was at Disneyland. They had a Berea grilled cheese. So those aren't familiar, Berea is a slow simmered beef, usually in
tacos.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can make tacos.
I only think of it in Berea tacos.
But it's a slow simmered beef. It's usually simmered in au jus, I guess, for
some type of spicy yes. Mexican jus.
Yeah, yeah, they, you know, it's stewed in its own juices, essentially. So slow simmered, slow cooked, so that it basically starts to fall apart. This grilled cheese was on sourdough. Pretty sure it was cheddar cheese that was on it. And then Berea in the middle. And then it was served with that consomme on the side, that for dipping. The consomme is what the Mexicans call it when they're making Berea. That's the juices that they cook it in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. It was basically a grilled cheese dip, but it was fantastic blend of flavors. And that's saying something, because Disneyland food is not always the
so
best.
So not healthy. And not always the best.
Yeah.
Depending on where you go. I've had some very good luck with
yes.
Disney. And we're going to talk about Disney in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, let's just get into it. Okay. So let's talk about the Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristos are good.
The reason I bring it up is because mm-hmm. The first time a lot of people got exposed to the Monte Cristo was Disneyland.
Okay.
At Cafe Orleans and the Blue Bayou in Disneyland, the one yep. in California, has been serving this thing since 1966, I think, whatever the hell it came out.
Sounds about
yeah.
right.
It's great. Now, what is a Monte Cristo sandwich? It's often pan-fried or cooked on a flat top in a restaurant. It's basically a French toast sandwich
mm-hmm.
with ham and cheese.
I've seen
and then you dip it in
yeah.
you put your powdered sugar and you dip it in raspberry jam.
I've seen a version of it that's been deep fried now.
You could do that.
I yeah. mean, it's, you know, you batter dip it and toss it in the fryer for a couple minutes.
Where it so that you're aware, it's a variation on a croque monsieur.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old from like 1910. It was the original grilled cheese sandwich. Speaking of grilled cheese, was Gruyere and lean ham between two slices of bread with the crust cut off, fried in clarified butter. It was served in a Paris cafe in 1910, and it's still popular everywhere.
Yes. You can find them in French restaurants. I've actually, that's where I had the croque monsieur.
There's a chain of French restaurants. They bought Mimi's Cafe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's called La Madeleine.
Okay.
They have great breakfast all the time, good salads. We used to go there when we lived in Texas.
Okay.
They're all around the American South. There's none in Vegas, though.
We used to. They've all disappeared.
Yeah, happens. But they have a good croque monsieur and a croque madame.
Okay.
Yeah, the croque madame is slightly different. That one has an egg on it.
Oh, okay.
So
I've not had that one.
But the Monte Cristo is a variation on that. In the 30s to 60s, the sandwich was in cookbooks as a toasted ham sandwich or a French toast sandwich. Mm. And then, of course, there's nothing to support this, but they think that the Monte Cristo was first served in California in the 1950s, which is probably where Disney got it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's still there today in Disneyland. You can get it.
Yep.
Problem with that sandwich. It's a little expensive at Disneyland. The battered and fried Monte Cristo sandwich is sliced turkey, ham. See, they had a little turkey. Turkey, ham, and Swiss, which is fine. Seasonal preserves, and you get, like, fries and a salad with it. $24!
Holy shit.
It's Disney. What do you want? You're going to get gouged no matter which way you go. But it's a great sandwich. It's a grilled cheese with ham, and now it gets weird with the jam. It works. It makes it a sweet sandwich. Sweet and savory.
Okay.
The reason I bring that up is because I'm just in the middle of this, and I'm going to ask another question from the internet. Zesty Close Big 9090 asked, "Do sweet things belong on savory sandwiches?" Her favorite sandwich at the moment was turkey Swiss, hot pepper relish mayo, and raspberry jam.
Okay.
You're halfway to a Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
Her husband thinks it's revolting. She thinks he's a genius. What do you think?
I mean, it's all context. I mean, how do you build your sandwich? Sweet and savory typically go well together. Sweet and spicy typically go well together. Sweet and salty, not as much, because a lot of times when you take something that's salty and something that's sweet together, it magnifies the sweetness. So
that's why I like chocolate-covered pretzels.
But sweet and savory is a very common pairing in a lot of cuisine. There's some great places that have Monte Cristos here in Vegas.
Speaking
One of them called Truffles and Bacon Cafe. I love their Monte Cristo there.
Ooh, that sounds good. Quick aside.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of sweet and savory, sweet and salty,
mm-hmm.
Next time you're ever doing, not that we do this ever, not hot pot, fondue.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Order a side of bacon. Dip that bacon in the chocolate.
Yes.
Your life will change.
Yes.
It's so good. It's
chocolate-covered bacon is one of those things that you think about, the sweet and the savory. You're like, it doesn't seem like it would work, but the smokiness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I will tell you, and that I, actually, this comes from one of the chefs that I worked with. He said, if you're going to coat your bacon with chocolate, your best bet is to do it with a darker chocolate. Because that bitterness and that slightly sweetness will work better with the saltiness and the smokiness of the bacon.
Everything's better with dark chocolate, dude.
And, I mean, milk chocolate works, don't get me wrong. Because a lot of the population of the world likes, a milk chocolate.
If you prefer milk chocolate over dark chocolate, you don't like chocolate, you like sugar.
Well,
I'll die on that hill.
There's probably a fair amount of truth to that. But
there's a lot of truth.
But yeah, a dark chocolate-covered bacon, oh, so good.
Oh, dark chocolate color.
I had that on a sundae one time. It was so bizarre. So it was ice cream, so vanilla ice cream, hot fudge, this dark chocolate covered bacon, and oh my god, it was like a mix of flavors you don't feel like should work together but did. Yeah.
You know, Applebee's of all freaking places, ugh, has a deep fried Monte Cristo.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Not where I would go for a Monte Cristo.
Not where I would go ever.
Nice
really?
To know it's available.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, ugh. Applebee's has gone way downhill over the years, so in my opinion.
No, yeah, mine too.
So, but, you know, again, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one and they all stink.
Yep. Except for ours, which are amazing.
Yes.
I love French toast, and I love the idea of having a French toast sandwich coated and all that. And it's, you know, we don't count calories over here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have a show.
Yeah.
But if you ever get a chance, order yourself a Monte Cristo. It's worth it.
Absolutely.
What was his name from Tim Allen?
Okay.
Galaxy Quest. Space movie. His sandwich was the Monte Cristo sandwich.
Okay.
I remember that for some reason. I don't know why. They chose to have that as his character trait. He's like, oh, he would always order a Monte Cristo sandwich.
Huh. I don't remember that part, but I haven't watched the movie.
And then Alan Rickman's character had this disgusting alien thing he couldn't eat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when the aliens were making their quote, favorite dishes.
Here's your Monte Cristo sandwich. Yeah, that. Pretty much. I don't know why that sticks in my head. But I'm
because it's a good movie.
It's a very good movie.
And it had food in it. And
it's a very good sandwich.
We all know how much you like food.
Oh, yeah. That's why I like mob pictures, because they're always talking about food. Gabagool, bring that over here.
You know, those are some of the most interesting scenes, like when you're watching a mob movie, because here are these people that do these really horrific, nasty things.
Hey, criminals got to eat, too.
But they really come together when they're making food, or they're talking about food, because that's that one thing that quote unquote humanizes them in a lot of these movies.
I grew up with an Italian family and a Scottish family, and
whenever
any family gathering revolved around the kitchen, there was always someone making food, and the smell of food was very distinct.
Yep.
And that's where I get my love of sandwiches from, too, because they would make good sandwiches, and we'd always go out for good sandwiches. And in Jersey, we did not really go to Subway. Now, we did a little bit because, you know, we didn't have a lot of money.
Well, Subway wasn't around when you were a kid.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it was. It was just starting out.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I had more than a few Subway sandwiches in my life.
Sure.
I've come to despise them because I think there are far better sandwiches out there.
I mean, they've done a number of things to improve themselves over the last couple of years. They now slice their own meats in-house, so they get they've actually got the deli slicer in a lot of the locations.
Yeah, Porta-Subs used to do that too. That's why I liked Porta-Subs. I just didn't like the bread.
Yeah, Porta-Subs bread tended to be a little on the sweeter side than it should have been.
Well, it's America. Our shit's sweet.
Oh, God.
It's gross.
It's so funny listening to foreigners come over here, and I say foreigners, anybody from outside the United States, but mostly Europeans talk about how our bread is not bread. They said
it's not.
It's too sweet. It doesn't have the right mouth feel, et cetera. They said it's just not. It's not bread.
It's not bread.
It's not
bread. No, it's not. And in the Subway's case, it actually wasn't classified as bread, if you remember that.
Was it like a cake or something they classified it as? It's one of those bizarre things, like because of the sugar content and I think it was like the lack of yeastiness of like your typical bread, they tried to classify it as like a cake or something. It was hilarious when I was reading this article. I'm like, oh my God, their bread is not bread.
Because it had too much added sugar to legally be considered bread in somewhere. I think it was in Ireland or something like that.
Yep.
It's disgusting. The sugar content's like 10% of the weight of the it's just awful.
Yep.
And honestly, I never really liked the way they set up their sandwiches. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And the tomatoes always looked weak. The cold cuts were not good. I'm willing to give Subway another chance because I haven't had a Subway sandwich in years.
Okay.
I would rather spend the extra few bucks at a place like, I don't know, Chiba or Jimmy John's or whatever.
I mean, for me, so I work nights. I'm usually not getting out of work until midnight, 1 a.m. There's not a lot of options for sandwich lovers at that late at night unless you want to go to a sit-down place. There are more options here in Vegas than anywhere else
need I remind you of the place that you, me, and Darren went to? Starboard Tack.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
It's an old bar in town. It's like a rum bar, not a tiki bar. On a side street, and they have this sandwich, the Mongolian beef, beef cheesesteak, basically.
Yep.
Holy crap.
It was good.
It was super good.
It was super good.
You like Mongolian beef? You like cheesesteaks? Put them together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I 100% endorse that. But I like...
But I mean, Subway is one of those easy places to go on your way home.
So. Yeah, and if you're traveling and it's next to a gas station, you pull over, you're like, oh, all right, fine, let's get a sandwich. And it qualifies as a sandwich, I guess.
I mean, if I have my choice, I like to go to local restaurants or, you know, mom and pop owned, for lack of a better term,
yeah,
restaurants, because they usually have a lot more time to put and effort to put into their sandwiches, and
it shows. It hits different to me because, for instance, just before we started the show, we got Jersey Mike's because we like the Italian subs there.
Yep, it's good.
It's a chain. They're all the frick over the place in America, and it's, you know, it's not a homegrown thing. Oh, I mean, it is homegrown originally, but it's...
It didn't start out as a nationwide chain.
Yeah, but it's consistent. The taste is consistent. It's a quality Italian sub. I have no complaints. Now, is that the best Italian sub I've ever had? No. That's going to be in some hole in the wall place. I probably don't even remember the name.
You know?
Just like one of Deb's favorite sandwiches she ever had. I'm never going to say favorite sandwich because you don't have a favorite sandwich if you're a real foodie.
Your favorites change day to day sometimes.
And it's like whatever you're feeling.
At least mine
that day
does.
Yeah. But one of her favorite sandwiches was in Stratford on Avon in England.
Hmm.
The bread was thick. The cut of ham was super thick. The cheese was just like they lumped it off by the, like they took a cheese knife and cut a hunk off a giant piece of cheese.
Wow.
It was delicious.
Which I think is kind of funny because a lot of British food is not good.
You know,
it
tends
say
to
be kind of bland.
I've been over there. She's been over there a few times. I've been over there a few times, and I never had a bad meal.
Okay.
In England or Scotland, Ireland, maybe I got really lucky.
Scotland, Ireland, they tend to have a little more flavor in their food, but, you know.
Fresh salmon.
What would be considered traditional English food is often... If you even have people from England tell me, it's like, oh, yeah, our food's kind of blah. That's why we like to import a lot of restaurants.
It's because they don't spice it. Like Mexican food, they need the right cheeses and stuff, and they just don't get all that.
No.
So you'll find, like, Gruyere on their Mexican food. And like, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Ugh. That's like putting carrots on your Mexican food or...
Peas and carrots in my rice.
God.
Ugh. I did mention we were going to be sandwich adjacent, didn't I?
Epic fail.
You know what? That about wraps it up for episode one. You have questions? You have comments? What have you been eating? Let us know at comments@inbredpodcast.com. Spread the word. See what I did there? Spread.
Yes.
We got jokes. They're not good.
Let us know the sandwich you've eaten most recently that really left an impression on you.
Really left a good taste in your mouth.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
I did. Review us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Tell your friends we're over here talking about sandwiches. It's real easy to get into. If you'd like to support the show, visit our Ko-fi. It's like Patreon. ko-fi.com/inbred. Join the Turkey Club. That's tier one. Just $5 a month. You get access to our Discord server where we in the community chat about sandwiches.
What a value.
I know. You'll get exclusive content for Ko-fi members only. If you really want to show your love, be a meatball hero. Join at tier two for a chance to win a sandwich every month. The more tier twos we get, the more sandwiches we're going to give away.
We're giving away shit already?
I know, right? First episode. Wow. Yeah. We have no business sense. Just take our stuff. I'd like to thank the readers of r/sandwiches for your questions of the Geek Shock podcast for helping us kickstart this thing. And really anyone who enjoys a good sandwich. I'm Barry.
I'm Jeff.
Stay hungry.
Indeed.
I'm kind of hungry now, too.
Yeah.
Fun story. One of the reasons we wanted to start this, Jeff and I are at an Italian place down at South Vegas, really, really good Italian deli, and we're just talking about sandwiches, and there's a guy sitting next to us, and he's eating, and he turns to us, he's like, you guys are making me hungry, and I got a sandwich right here.
Yep.
That's what we do.
That was really the moment where we're like, okay, we've been talking about this forever. We have to just
do it. We just have to dive in, yeah.
So here it is.
Yep. Go eat something.